He's a young man named Ahmed Abdullah Mini. He's from Northern Virginia, like the rest of them, from the Alexandria, Virginia area, just outside Washington. He was a very accomplished wrestler at West Potomac High School outside Washington. And that was, I believe, in 2007, 2008. And after school, you know, he had not really surfaced on anyone's radar until this story broke. What he had done that attracted some attention, according to the Pakistani authorities who interrogated him, was that he would go regularly online to watch videos of attacks against U.S. forces in Afghanistan and elsewhere. He would leave postings praising those attacks. And those caught the attention of one militant that the Pakistanis identify only as Saifullah. The five gentlemen had the idea to try to travel to that region and, according to the Pakistanis, conduct jihad operations there. And the Pakistanis say they tried to hook on with two militant groups, and the two militant groups didn't want to have anything to do with them because they didn't really have the credentials yet, but that they were at least, you know, making efforts to do this kind of thing, to try to, you know, join groups that were fighting U.S. forces in that region. And the way they communicated often with each other and possibly with members of militant groups in that region was they would set up a kind of a common email account on a popular internet server, and they would leave emails in draft form. They would never actually send the emails. So they would type out something, some kind of a message, save it to draft, but never actually send it. And then someone else would log onto that account, read that draft message, then maybe delete it, type up another draft message, and leave that. And according to the Pakistanis, that was, quote, undetectable by the FBI. Well, we talked to a cyber security expert named Ira Winkler, who used to work at the NSA, and he said that's not quite true, that authorities can track that kind of thing. Sometimes these service providers have backup systems where these things get saved to, but also that, you know, they can certainly see that data is coming in and out of that account, and they can see who's using the account. So not quite foolproof.
Have you gotten any feedback or any reaction to the fact that they are all from the D.C. metro region? Have people sort of been gobsmacked by that?
Absolutely. We have done a lot of reporting on this since this story broke last Wednesday. We've canvassed the neighborhood where they live and grew up in Northern Virginia. We've been to their houses. We've been knocked on doors in the neighborhood. We've been to the mosque where the common place where they all knew each other from was this mosque in Alexandria. But members of the mosque say they are just completely shocked by this, that these five gentlemen never really surfaced as being radical. Leaders of the mosque insist they didn't get radicalized there. That's one thing they want to make very clear, that they you know, teach and promote very moderate interpretations of Islam, and that these five gentlemen, whatever they were doing on their own time, they were not doing it with the sanction or with any help from the mosque.
Shifting gears a bit, but not shifting them too far, we're talking about also troops and their equipment. And you have gotten your hands on a letter that's been sent to the Pentagon regarding the condition of that equipment. Some of them saying that this equipment is ineffective. What do you mean by ineffective, or what did they mean by ineffective?
It's fairly surprising when you look at this letter. It's a letter sent from the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, Congressman Ike Skelton, and another member of that committee, Solomon Ortiz, both top Democrats on that committee. They sent a letter to Secretary Gates and to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen. They sent it last week, but apparently, according to people at the Pentagon we just talked to, they may not have received it until this week. But essentially, it's a letter saying, look, we've talked to members of combat brigades that are deploying in war zones, and they named two of these combat brigades. And these two congressmen say that the soldiers are complaining to them that some of their equipment is really deficient and almost unusable. And it's really kind of surprising when you read some of this. I mean, I'll read you a couple of quotes from the letter. They say that they were told that the new rucksack is made of plastic, not comfortable, not effective in combat situations, that the plastic straps on the rucksacks are cutting off circulation to the soldiers' arms and hands, making it virtually impossible to fire their weapons. That's one complaint. Another complaint is with the M4 rifle that is issued. These two congressmen say that the soldiers are telling them that there are multiple reports of this rifle jamming, sometimes in critical battle situations where soldiers are really, really under fire, and yet they still keep issuing the M4 rifle, and they want to know whether they're going to try to, you know, improve that weapon, or, you know, why other weapons aren't being used. In some cases, they say that soldiers have to pay for extra uniforms out of their pocket and things like that. you know, these are similar complaints we've heard throughout the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan, but it's no less unsettling now that we know that President Obama is about to escalate the troop presence in Afghanistan. So it's a fairly stark and, you know, eye-opening letter that these two members of Congress sent to the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs. The initial feedback that we're getting from the Pentagon is, look, we're just seeing this now, we're going through it, we're going to address these concerns, but we don't have anything to respond immediately to this.